This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. All right. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And tonight we're going to talk about something that is very practical because I think everybody has to deal with it from time to time. And that's the subject of depression.
Yeah.
You know what? Because we live in a fallen world. I mean, how often do we say that to ourselves? You know, well, this is life in a fallen world. And everybody has to deal with disappointment sometimes. You have trouble sometimes, trials and temptations and all that.
And you know, it runs the whole gamut, though. Mm-hmm. You know, from I'm having a day that I feel kind of droopy to the severe depression where people are having suicidal thoughts.
Right. And I guess we need to say right off the bat.
We're not doctors.
We are not medical professionals. And sometimes that's who you need. Sometimes you need professional help, and there's a place for that.
And if anybody is threatening suicide or thinking about suicide, that's
or harming other people.
Yeah, that is a life-threatening emergency, and you need to get help right away.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the persistent blues.
We're talking about something more than I'm feeling a little droopy today. We're talking about more like people who sort of get into the dumps and then don't seem to
get back out. Right. And that can be a kid or a parent. You know, I remember how many years ago, like over 20 years ago, when we lived in California, I went through a time like this and I felt like, I felt like it was gray all the time. You know how you feel when it's really gray and dark and cloudy outside? I felt like it was gray all the time.
Well, you know, the tourism people talk about sunny California, and that's because they don't go to the Central Valley. And see, California has these two ridges of mountains. You've got the Sierra Nevadas in the eastern part of the state, and then the coastal range. And in that Central Valley, during the winter months, a fog bank rolls in and sits. And it's a deep, thick fog. They call it a tule fog. And during the day, it lifts about 15 feet off the ground, and then it hangs there. And then at night, it drops back down.
It's really horrible.
And so you don't see the sky for weeks.
Oh, it's like November to February. Mm-hmm. You don't see the sky at all. And it tore me up. I am just really sensitive to light. I need a lot of light.
She's my little tropical plant.
And I remember thinking a lot about the way it felt. And thinking about how I felt like I would try to pray, but I felt like God couldn't hear me. Now, the truth is, I couldn't hear God. He could hear me fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I felt like I would pray, and it just like the heavens were brass, that nobody could hear me, and I was all alone, even though I had a husband that loved me, and I had friends, and I had a baby that I loved.
Yeah.
But I was in a pit, and I couldn't climb back out.
Well, and you know, that was, I think, the term that what you had is seasonal affective disorder, which is, you know, weather, sunlight related. And, you know, she has a relative who grew up in Scandinavia, and he said, look, in the wintertime, when the sun goes down at 3:30 in the afternoon and it's dark until 9 o'clock in the morning, people have serious, like suicidal issues over this.
Yeah.
And so that is a real thing. You know, I've had bouts where I felt like I was falling into a hole too. I mean, I had a really unexpected and a very inconvenient job layoff one time. And, you know, and this was in a down economy, and there's a real strong temptation when you get into that slump to just sort of lay down in it, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember coming, get up, sleep late in the morning because I got nowhere to go. And then you get up and put on your bathrobe and you come downstairs and, you know, you sort of look for a job and you kind of are ashamed to go out in public because you think people look at you and say, there's a loser. He should be at work right now. You know, now I'm self-employed and I go to Walmart whenever I feel like it, and I don't feel any shame at all. But you know, when you had this dumped on me, I really felt very down, and it was very hard to get over. So that's what we're not talking
about. Let's talk about the kids too, because I think we see this commonly in kids as well, especially in those high hormonal times. You know, when the preteen years and the early teen years, when their hormones are out of control.
And yeah. nobody likes me, and I'm funny
Everybody
looking.
Everybody hates me. And nobody understands.
They all point at me, and
yeah, and it's easy for our kids to get depressed. And when they're just, some kids, I think personality has to do with it, tend to
melancholy. They're just naturally sort of.
Yeah, they hit those hormones, and some kids get angry, okay? Mm-hmm. And other kids get really depressed, and they don't want to go outside. I remember one of ours that if it involved people outside our family, he didn't want to participate.
Well, it's more than one. They've gone through times like that. So,
and
yeah. So you know what? This is something. It's real.
It's real.
And
that's something we do need to talk about, because sometimes Christians try to say that depression is something that is just you've got a bad attitude. You need to change your attitude.
Well, so,
or it's spiritual. You need to repent.
Well, there's a. There was a T-shirt I saw with a grumpy little lady on the illustration, and she had her hands on her hips, just saying, "Just snap out of it." And you know, there's some
the
people
snap
that
out
that's
of it theory of counseling.
Yeah, just quit it. That approach to dealing with somebody who has a real serious depression, that doesn't work. Also, what doesn't work is to say it's because you're lacking in faith. You're not trusting the Lord properly. Your faith is weak, and that's why you're in a deep, dark depression.
You know, the truth of the matter is that there is a spiritual component often.
There, yeah.
Because often, you know, because you're depressed, you're not spending the time in the Word that you need to.
Or maybe you have a legitimate sin issue that God is convicting you over, and you're having trouble dealing with this in your flesh. So there can be spiritual things, but
there's also a huge physical component, and that's been proven. That's not debatable.
And see, that's the part that we have to deal with, is the fact that God created us as bodies and souls, and you can't really, you know, separate the two of them while we're here on earth. And whatever causes us to get into this depressive kind of state, that sets up a chemical thing going on in our brains.
Yeah.
And once we've got that thing going in our brains, it can perpetuate it. I mean, it can become self-feeding.
And it can get worse. And you know, the thing is, there's often a spiritual component, there's often a physical component. And we've got to recognize both of those and dealing with it to be able to deal with it effectively.
Right.
And so let's talk about some of those things that can help in those situations.
Yeah.
Some practical things you can do. And from the spiritual to the physical and all through, because depression is devastating to family life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes you have difficulty in taking joy in your family. Mm-hmm. And that can make them feel unloved. It can make it hard to get your housework done or your schoolwork done because you don't feel like anything matters.
And then you can just like put layers of failure on top of yourself.
Yeah.
Which makes it
worse and worse and worse.
Right.
It's debilitating.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can get to the point you feel like, I'm always going to be like this. There's no hope.
Well, I think that maybe that's kind of a key to it, is this feeling of a crushing hopelessness.
Yes.
Like there's nothing that can be done. It's always going to be this way or worse. And I'm a total loss here.
And what makes it worse, I think, is that there's some stigma attached to it in our culture. And people feel like, well, if I admit I'm depressed, that's like admitting I'm broken. And, you know, that's not true. I think everybody goes through depression at some time or another in their lives. And also, you know, the research has shown, do you remember reading that actually very high intelligence is connected to depression.
And leadership often has a depressive aspect too. It's
well, you
it's
know, the
weird.
Research seems to show that the people that are leaders and are highly intelligent are better able to see possible negative consequences. And they can get discouraged and depressed more easily.
That may be. Well, I just think about it. There have been some great spiritual Christians over the years who've had to deal with this. And, of course, they knew it by different terms, so you don't see it. You know, you have to kind of read between the lines in their histories. But, you know, people like Martin Luther.
Oh,
okay,
he was severely depressed after his baby died.
You know, Martin Luther has, you know, dealt with it. Charles Spurgeon had deep, dark periods of depression. I mean, And interesting, there was a discussion just recently I was reading about between a couple of evangelicals. It was John Piper and I think John MacArthur was the second one.
Yeah.
But, you know, John Piper said, I have had days where I literally wept every single day.
Wow.
And the other person, I'm thinking it was John MacArthur, but the other person said, you know, I've never felt depressed. You know, there's a personality aspect to it. But the point
is, there's a physical aspect to it. You know, some people are prone to depression. I can look at my family and see that
it seems like, you know, almost like a disposition to it. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's all by way of saying, you remember when a man was brought to Jesus and they said, who sinned that this man was born blind? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus said, neither one.
Right.
It was neither one. Okay. And I think that's true so much of this, that sometimes, okay, maybe somebody sinned, but don't assume it.
No.
Don't assume it.
And if sin is an issue, repent. You know, and that sounds easy, but I think about some dear friends of ours who the husband had his business and ministry failed, and, you know, they had to go out of business, and he became severely depressed, and his wife kind of interpreted that as sin because he was so depressed he wasn't doing anything to support him. And so, yeah, he's supposed to be supporting him. He had like a total
crash there. Yeah,
a total crash. She saw it as sin, but really, I think more than sin, there was this debilitating depression that he couldn't see that anything would help.
Right.
You know?
Right. And he couldn't do anything to dig himself out of it.
So let's talk about practical things you can do.
So I guess that's the first thing, is to say, understand it. If it's you or if it's somebody you love, you know, understand a little bit that it's real. It's not necessarily weakness of spiritual or character or anything else, but it's a real thing, and oftentimes they need help.
Okay.
And so what can we do without getting into the full bore psychiatric type of level stuff, which sometimes is necessary, but for most of us, we don't need to go that far. Well, you know, you said it first. If there's sin in your life, if you're feeling convicted about sin, repent. You know, you can say, well, my sin is too great. No, really. Honestly,
And if you're feeling burdened about something that you have repented of, then you need to review the promises of God that He has promised to make it new, to restore the years the locusts have eaten, to heal you,
the book of 1 John is perfect for this, because it deals with the fact that, you know, we all sin, and there's a remedy for that. We all need to repent and turn to God. And then if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. That's what he goes on to say in one of the later chapters, you know, that we have an accuser who wants to keep us down. He can't take our salvation from us, but if he can immobilize us for working in the kingdom.
Now, you know, something that really helped me before I discovered some of the physical things that would help is I realized that I needed to be closer to the Lord. And something that helped me is I just got a hymnal and I sang every verse of the first 5 hymns I knew. And the next time I felt like bawling my head, my eyes out, I sang the next 5 hymns that I do, all the verses. And I really found, you know, when we look in Samuel, is it 1 Samuel that it talks about?
I think
about Saul struggling.
Was afflicted by an evil spirit, and David would play the lyre and sing, and it would calm him.
Well, I think music hits a part of our emotions that is not easily accessible from just, you know, rationality. You know, it's kind of below our thoughts, you know.
Yeah.
Different than our thoughts. And I found that really helped me. It really helped me to feel God's presence during those dark times.
Yeah.
And spending time in the Word every single day, whether I felt like it or not, that really helped.
And you know what? And we need the fellowship of other believers. And
go to church.
Start with your family. Move out to your church. You know, you need to be out there. You need to have that encouragement to kind of be drawn out of yourself, because the tendency when you get in that depression is to crawl into a hole. You want to get into a cave and roll the rocks up from the inside.
I remember one time just coming home and getting curling up in the fetal position in my dark bedroom, and I didn't want to come out. You know, and that's tough.
You're not making progress with that.
No. Okay. Some physical things that help. Sunlight. Okay. You know, get outside, get out in the sunlight. Now, for some of us, we don't process vitamin D very well, and taking vitamin D supplements can help. I remember one of our children was in a country that was very dark and foggy, and I had sent some vitamin D in his packaging, and he said, it's just so depressing here. Yeah. The sun never shines. And he remembered that vitamin D, and he went back to his room, and he took some vitamin D, and he said, it was like a little beam of sun, a sunbeam followed me around. As soon as it got into my body, I felt so much better.
That's somebody who really needed it bad.
Yeah. Vitamin D can help.
Vitamin D can help. You know, another thing we found, and we kind of discovered this by accident, fish oil.
Well, it was an accident, Hal.
Well,
I was studying for the lactation consultant exam.
Right.
And I read a research study that they were looking at the question, if they supplemented with omega-3 oils, would mother's milk be higher in omega-3s?
Okay.
And they found out, well, not really. Your body just takes what it needs from you and gives it to the baby.
Okay.
But they found out that some moms with intractable depression that had treatment failures with all kinds of antidepressants, prescription antidepressants, got better when they started taking fish oil. Mm-hmm. I thought, fish oil is healthy. Why don't I see what will happen if I take fish oil? Mm-hmm. So I started taking fish oil every day, and it was amazing. After 3 or 4 years taking fish oil, I thought, man, it's been forever since I've been depressed. Mm-hmm. I haven't felt depressed in years. I thought, well, you know, I probably don't need this stuff anymore. Hal had been laid off and money was tight. And I thought, well, I don't need this anymore. And I stopped taking it. Within about 2 weeks, I was back down into the pit.
I remember that.
Oh, I know. I was crying in your arms.
That was terrible.
And I remember you saying, Melanie, have you taken your fish oil?
I said, no, I'm trying to save money.
Yeah, and Hal
it's not that
got
expensive,
the car and
folks.
Drove to Walmart honestly, and got some more.
It's not that expensive.
And, you know, it took 2 or 3 weeks to build it back up in my system before I felt like myself again.
Well, but you know, I remember.
So if you try fish oil, don't be discouraged if you don't feel better in a week. It may take several weeks to build it back up in your body.
Although I know when I started taking it, I felt a difference pretty quickly. I mean, it was just, I seemed to have a little better mental acuity and sharpness.
Yeah.
I was having some real difficulties at work because I'd moved from a fairly active outdoor sort of position into a cubicle farm, and I was going into zombie mode. And wow, the fish oil really helped. So that's an inexpensive thing. It's not going to hurt you. And a lot of people, it actually helps.
Well, and see, the corpus callosum between the two halves of the brain are have a lot of omega-3 oils coating the nerve fibers there, if I remember correctly from my reading.
Okay.
And so it really does help mental sharpness.
It's a brain lubricant. Okay.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. We're not doctors. I guess you can tell that.
No, we are not doctors.
You know, something else, though, that really helped me is exercise, just getting up and moving. And again, research has proven that exercise actually helps depression.
You know, there's a weird thing. One of our sons was sharing some research he'd read recently about hormones.
Yeah.
And he had read some research where doctors and people studying it found that acting in a certain way produced a hormonal response.
Oh, that was so cool.
You remember that? That like, if you like intentionally, okay, male thing, if you take a very confident, aggressive
like
sort
man
of stance.
Like manspread, yeah.
You know, yeah, like, you know, standing with your hands on your hips, looking very confident and manly and masculine, that actually it affects your testosterone
your
levels.
Your body releases more testosterone. It's really cool.
And that, other things happen, you know, that if you just say, okay, I'm going to get myself out of bed and I'm going to put on my clothes and put on my shoes and act like I'm a decent, well-adjusted human being, even if I don't feel that way, you know, it may actually help.
It may actually help
some. And so, you know, there's...
Well, you know, I know when I was on pregnancy bed rest, even though I couldn't go anywhere, if I put on daytime clothes and put on makeup and brush my hair, I felt tons better.
You know, we're... Our church is doing a study of the book of Ecclesiastes, and talk about a dark, depressed book. But you get to the end there, I think it's chapter 12 or 13, where it says that even so, the preacher still taught the people and collected proverbs and put words together to be very expressive. And, you know, he went about doing what he knew his business and calling was, even though he felt like, it's all vanity. It's all striving after wind. But I've got a job to do.
And sometimes you just have to put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Probiotics can help.
Okay, explain that.
Okay, what I read
is
that when you have yeast overgrowth in your intestines, and you can have that without having a lot of symptoms outside your body.
Yeah.
When you have yeast overgrowth in your intestines, mm-hmm. that the yeast takes up the places that serotonin, which is kind of the anti-depression hormone,
okay,
where serotonin is uptaken again by your body.
Okay.
And it keeps your body from reusing the serotonin that's passed out of your body.
Gotcha.
And so taking probiotics and getting good gut health can help depression too.
Okay. What about this one here? I've got a comment on that.
Well, St. John's wort is an option that a lot of people use. You need to be careful though, because like the prescription antidepressants, mm-hmm. it does control the serotonin response.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be really careful. And I don't remember which way it all works, but it controls the serotonin response. And so you can have some of the same problems you have with prescription antidepressants, where in some people it actually causes suicidal thoughts and more depression.
Ooh, kind of a backlash.
Yeah. And it can be addictive. And so St. John's wort can be useful in a short-term period, but be very careful about weaning off of it. You can't stop it suddenly. Never stop a prescription antidepressant suddenly is what I've heard.
Right. And this is one, although it's not prescribed necessarily, I mean, you can buy it over the counter in the supplement aisle.
But it's still...
It does some strong things. And it is... Some doctors do prescribe it, and it's been used in Europe for a number of years.
Many years.
You know, a regular treatment for depression. So,
you know, one thing we ought to talk about is how do you talk about this with your kids? Let's say you notice one of your kids is just dragging, mm-hmm. you know, that they're always sad, always depressed. You need to talk to them about it.
You need to ask them, you know, what are you feeling? Why do you feel this way?
Yeah.
And not argue with them. Not say, that's silly. Snap
out of
it.
Do a lot of listening.
Get over that.
Yeah.
But, you know, really listen, because, you know, when they're, especially in the preteen years, but I think, you know, all through their lives, they're trying to understand what's going on inside. And sometimes what's going on inside doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But they're living in there. And so you've got to deal with, you know, the reality that they're living in and help them to understand it. And, you know, it's an opportunity to talk about the grace of Christ, the grace of God, the love of the Lord, you know, to talk about things that, you know, maybe part of their problem is feeling uncertainty about who they are and what life is about, what's to come.
I think it can do a lot of help just to explain to them what's going on hormonally. Mm-hmm. You know, to explain, okay, look, your body is changing into a man's body or a woman's body. Mm-hmm. And it's producing huge times the number of hormones it will as an adult.
Yeah.
I mean, like dozens of times the number of hormones.
Well, that's a girl thing, right? Girls are the ones that get hormonal, right?
Oh, goodness, no. Boys get very hormonal.
Boys get hormonal, too. Yeah. Trust us.
Usually see it in anger first with boys.
Yeah, but they get
down and depressed and melancholy, too.
They get moody and melancholy and droopy, too. And so
if you explain, you know, these hormones have effects. They have effects on your body. They start, you know, your muscles growing differently, your organs developing. Mm-hmm. It's changing you into an adult body, but it also has hormonal effects. And it can make you feel really sad. And the problem with kids when they feel this way is they feel really sad, for example, and they start looking, always before when they felt sad, something horrible had happened.
I mean, it was a reaction to something.
So they start looking around.
Yeah.
You!
Me?
You're the one making me sad. You don't understand me.
What?
You don't love me. You don't care about me.
I just got here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and it can be very frustrating for the parents. You want to say, mm-hmm. what are you talking about? I didn't do this to you.
Right.
Knock it off. And that's the wrong response. Instead, you need to say, okay, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Hear what they need to say and talk it through. And listen to them. Hear them out. Let them explain how they feel. Then explain how the hormones work and how it can affect your emotions, and that you can feel very, very sad and there be no reason for it. That the only reason is the hormones.
But you know, a lot of times those things will resolve.
And they do. They get better. And encouragement gets better. Walked in, saw one of ours on the couch the other day, sobbing. I mean, like her best friend had died. And I said, what in the world is wrong, honey? She said, I don't know. I said, then I do. Let's talk about hormones.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And But you've got to be really careful not to be patronizing when you're talking to them about it. Mm-mm. And not to discount how they feel, because they really feel that way. You know that there's no exterior reason for it, but they don't. And you've got to be really understanding and really hear them out and listen to them. Mm-hmm. Let's talk for a minute about talking to your kids about when you're depressed. Okay. Because it can be really hard for kids if mom's sad and crying all the time. Or dad is sad and sitting in a kind of funk and not responding to him, because it can make mm-hmm. them feel unloved.
Or it can make them worry that there's something going on that you're not sharing with them.
That something really that bad is something happening. Really, somebody has cancer, like, somebody's yeah, dying.
Yeah. And you know, it is important to talk about, and it's important for both of you to talk, because, you know, one of you may be in a deep depression, the other one not. Yeah. And maybe the one who is not in the deep hole needs to explain it to the rest of the family. Say, you know what, we need to show lots of love to mama or daddy or whoever it is, because they have this feeling that they can't get rid of, and they're not sick. I mean, we don't need to worry about them, you know, dying or anything, but to say
that something's wrong in their body that's making them feel sad.
So they're feeling very sad, and we're just going to have to pray that God helps them to feel better soon.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, kids can understand that, and they can be really sweet, really loving about it too.
Yeah.
You know, we think in most cases it's important to tell the kids what's going on, and to get them engaged, because it's amazing what a child can do to help out. A child who understands that it's not that mom doesn't care about making supper, it's that she's having a hard time thinking of anything because she's depressed. Maybe that child can think of something. Maybe they can go in and make supper. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they can help. And so get the whole family on the team and spend some time in prayer, because God is God over not just our souls, but our bodies too.
Yeah.
And He can bring healing. He can get us out of this. And, you know, we've known people who struggle with depression for years and then finally lifted out of it. Remember the couple we told you about that the dad wasn't doing anything to support them? They were really struggling. Mm-hmm. You know what? He's back engaged again, and their marriage is better than ever. They've got a new business. They're successful.
Yes.
And, you know, they got through that. It was a hard time in their marriage, mm-hmm. you know, but they got through it, and they got through it together with their marriage intact. And you can do that too.
Yeah. You know, as we said at the start, we're not medical professionals. We're not doctors. We're not pharmacists or any, you know, this is just practical experience of people who sometimes get down in a depressive point. But we do need to say there is a time when you need that professional help. Somebody sent me an article by John Piper when I got my cancer diagnosis. And, you know, he was a cancer survivor. And he wrote this. One of the things he said was that he said, I believe in God's power to heal by miracle and by medicine.
Amen.
And I believe it is right and good to pray for both kinds of healing.
Exactly.
You know, there's both examples in Scripture. And so if you or someone you love is in that point where they're not responding to anything short of a medical solution, or they're in a self-destructive or some kind of mode that could really cause injury or harm to other people or to themselves, then you do need to get professional help.
Yes.
And there is a time for some of those heavy-duty
medications.
And there's
no shame in that.
No, there's
no more so than if you have a sick appendix that you need help with, or you have, you know, you have an infection, you need antibiotics, get the help you need.
Right.
But during this time, for those who have just joined, we've been sharing some of our experiences mm-hmm. with depressed parents, depressed kids, and some practical things you can do to survive.
Yeah, and so, you can come check the archives here, because we post these things right after the program. They go back on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network's website. You can listen to them on the archive, or you can go get it on iTunes, and let's make an offer here, too. We've got a workshop that we do called Homeschooling Through Hard Times. We talk about, I mean, we've done it. We've had high-risk pregnancies. We've had sudden unemployment.
Children in ICU.
We've had cancer. I mean, we've had hard times, and we've homeschooled through all of them. Not because we're super great, but because we serve a great God.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of practical ideas, not for dealing with the depression only, but to say, how do you just manage your home? How do you just keep going through these tough patches? And maybe you have this medical issue that's a tough patch for you now. We'd like for you to have that recording. Normally we sell the downloads. If you'll just come out to our website, we're going to put up a page. It's going to be raisingrealmen.com/blue. That's easy to remember, right? The raisingrealmen.com/blue. That'll be the show notes for this show, and we'll have a link there. Just sign up for our newsletter, and we'll give you a free download of that.
Give us till tomorrow, or maybe even Wednesday, though, because we haven't got it up yet.
Okay.
Because we just thought of it. Okay.
Okay, but that's going to be there. All right.
And one final tip for you. When you're struggling with getting things done, when you can't seem to get up and get going, make yourself a schedule, because sometimes saying... at one point, I had to tell myself, okay, if you don't get up by 8, you're not going to eat any breakfast, because I love breakfast. But make yourself a schedule so that you don't have to think, you don't have to get up the gumption to do things. You just look and say, oh, I'm supposed to do this now. Because sometimes when you're in that mental fog, it's hard to decide what to do next. Just make it as easy as possible.
Right. So look, we appreciate you joining us. There's many things you could do with a Monday night or with a half hour of your time someplace. We do appreciate you joining us this time, and we hope you'll join us again next Monday or next time you download us from iTunes or wherever else, because we want to take biblical principles into the 21st century family in a very practical way. So until then, I'm Hal.
I'm Melanie.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com, or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.